The text of our message is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28 to 31. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear it not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord bless the reading of His secret word. These verses are chosen for a sermon on the SIA crash, as this disaster has hit the whole nation, we as Christians are also deeply involved, and I should say the more. So I would like to read the statement in the weekly, the SIA flight SQ006 crash in Taipei during last week, with 81 dead, after a safety record of 28 years, is a national disaster to all Singaporeans. Our humble prayers go to the bereaved families, and many thanks to God for the survivors. Straits Times comments, "The accident was as much a miracle as it was a tragedy, that there were at least 99 or 98 survivors, many with minor injuries in such a crash." On behalf of Christians, we bow before the Father Almighty. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. A greater calamity could have happened, but by His mercies the plane was only half full. That so many have been saved was due to the splitting of the plane into three parts. This also was a miracle. So many air crashes we read about resulted in total loss of life. 3 years ago, Silk Air plunged after the blow into the muddy sea waters of Palembang with no trace of life from all 106 on board. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not totally consumed at this time. We Christians must pray for a national airline, that much as our managers have done well to keep our aircraft in good shape with youthful planes, we need the blessing of God to stay alive. What lessons can we learn from this SIA air crash? We thank God for our very efficient managers and for the way our airline is run, so it is a very profitable business, and we take pride in our national airline. But with a record of 28 years safety, we are apt to think more highly of ourselves. And so King Solomon has this to say in Ecclesiastes, "I returned and saw under the sun, but the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance, these are forces greater than the human force. Bad times, earthquake, flood, typhoon, and the typhoon might have also affected the judgment of the pilot. And these things overtake us no matter how efficient and how good we are. So we have to reckon the factor of God who controls all these things. We must pray for our national airline as we pray for our government always, that no more disaster will happen for a long, long time. I don't say never from now. According to the law of averages, we are bound sooner or later to get it. We must pray that the management of SIA will fear God, and that more Christian pilots will be manning our airline. There is a young man of another BP church who comes to a prayer meeting every now and then. And one night he came up and said, "I want to thank the Lord because I had a very near miss. The plane I was flying came to the runway to a stop, but somehow it skidded and went right to the very last line before he gets into the ground." And he was so grateful to the Lord. He handed me $5,000. "Please give this as my thank offering to the church, to the Lord." Well, I do not know whether the pilot and the first, second engineers, they are Christian or not. At least the third one is not. But if they are Christians, I think they would have prayed together. Or at least the pilot himself. So our airline, if it's more Christian, it will be more profitable for our nation. We must realize that there is a human effort, but there's also the divine favor. If God will not bless us, our airline will go down. We need all the blessings of God to have mercy on us, but we must also pray for it. And so at least we can, as a church, be mindful and prayerful of those who govern us, the government especially, and for an airline that will be even more and more dominated by Christians. And the Lord will bless the airline because of the Christian management and pilots. That is the first point. Now, let us read this verse. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." This particularly has a reference to two types of flyers, the non-Christian and the Christian. The non-Christian, godless, or if they have some idea of God, they are blinded, and they are governed by a blind faith, so that whether it be Western or Eastern, they who are without the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in darkness, and what they fear only is death. So every day when he does anything, he will try to seek the good luck and avoid the bad luck. That's what the world says, good luck or bad luck. If good luck, he will return safely. Bad luck, he will end in a crash and in death. But Jesus says, that is only half the story. If you fear death only, and do not consider the consequences of death, beyond death there is another death. For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And who is he? He is the great God Almighty. Because if you die without Christ, then you will end up in a very unhappy place called hell. So rather submit to God, the living God. Now we have the light of truth, the light of salvation, and all humbly come and submit ourselves to the Lord God Almighty through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in our Savior. We are truly born again. We see a new light. But not only we see a new light, we come under a new protection by the wonderful care of the Lord. So there is a great difference between a Christian flyer and a non-Christian flyer. The non-Christian flyer will be constantly worried whether today I've chosen the right plane and travel at the right time. The Christian flyer will choose a day that is most appropriate for him to do his business. And then he will commit himself to the Lord. And he can ride safely in a plane. Especially, I have a blessing. But the moment I get on the plane, I sleep. No worry. If the Lord should take me, well, I'll be in heaven. So there's a different mentality. Now, in view of the fact that practically all Singaporeans fly, I read it's 95% of it. We are so affluent that you not only fly once, you may fly twice. Are we therefore not involved? And do you not feel the impact of this SIA crash? It behooves us therefore to make right with God. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And I would like to speak to young people especially, as you grew up in the church, and we are a fundamentalist church, and we use a terminology of save. And you seem to have the word save rubbed into you somewhat, but it never entered the heart. But you cannot say truthfully, more or less, I think I will be saved. Oh, and you have to make it very clear with the Lord. If you are saved, no matter what happens, you are on the winning side. Fear then not, which only kill the body, but fear him who is able to kill the body and the soul, that is God, who judges every soul. So, the impact of the SIA crash is to bring it to everyone here, whether you have encounter with God and you know where you will go in case death will overtake you. Now it doesn't say that because you're a Christian that you'll be protected in all circumstances. God has His higher will. But we must be prepared. Although He takes care of us more than many sparrows, we must get right with God. That come what may, whatever happens, I'm on the victory side. That's why when an airplane is in trouble in the air, you can watch the non-Christians. They are really terrified. Now we Christians, we bow our heads, we pray silently and ask the Lord to be merciful to us and leave, of course, the whole thing to Him. Because all things will work for good to them that are called according to His purpose. But if we need to perish in such a crash, we are still on the winning side. Silkair, 3 years ago, plunged into the muddy sea waters of Palembang, is at a river estuary. 106 souls were lost without a trace, not even a piece of human wreckage. But there were three Christian teachers of Fairfield Girls' School. And the story is told of how helpful these three Christian teachers are. So their bereaved families, although they mourned the loss, they were not like the outside world. And those outside world grudge so much and demand so much compensation and so forth, but not the Christians. Because they were comforted, now, although their bodies are gone, their souls are in heaven. So that's the great difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Now, the third point. Because they are trying to escape the bad luck and to be in good luck so that they will be saved, these non-Christian travelers, they will go to the medium or fortune teller to pick a good day. And I hear that there are certain politicians who would go to the Bright Hill Temple and ask the abbot there for advice on many things and even on travel. And in this way, they would feel safer. Not totally safe. Anyway, it is an improvement. As for Christians, we pray as we consider the circumstances. And insofar as our pilgrimages to the Holy Land are concerned, we always hold a prayer meeting special at the church prayer meeting Tuesday night. The prayer meeting before we set out. And we pray that the Lord will be merciful. And I'm happy to say that you have done it for 9 times, and 9 times We have returned without any scratch. And so we thank God for His protection. Now here is a point that involves Christians travel on Sunday. If on Sunday a pastor is preaching in the morning here and he has an appointment in the evening at Kuala Lumpur, Petaling Jaya, it will be perfectly correct for him to take an afternoon plane to go to his next appointment in the evening. There's a group of young people who are very, very meticulous and they are observing the Jewish Sabbath to say it ends at 6 o'clock, 6 to 6. Normally we count from 12 to 12. But they are so sticky about these things. If you don't keep to their timing, then you have contravened the fourth commandment. That is alright because you are traveling on the Lord's business. But I don't think it's good for you to join a tour that leaves Singapore 10:30 in the morning, Sunday, when you should be in church. Then I would feel much safer to come at 10 church first. And if the tour departs in the evening, it's alright. According to them, after 6 o'clock, it is no more Sabbath. I do not want to be so strict to count the hours, but coming to church first, to acknowledge the Lord, and to seek His mercies for protection is a very good thing. Then evening, if the tour begins, that will be alright. That is insofar as choosing the day is concerned. We choose not to hinder our worship on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day. And then now, we come to the next point of travel insurance. Many people try to make business out of me, life insurance and church staff, corporate insurance, but they have heard my sermon, so they get scared, they don't approach me. You cannot get any business from Pastor Toh. It is true, if we are so trusting the Lord, then our insurance is in the Lord and not in man. The insurance is a negative insurance. Even these bereaved families, it's not the money that counts. They are being awarded $400,000. That's a lot of money. But those who feel aggrieved, they say, we don't care about this. Can you restore him? And that is a very good reasoning. You buy insurance, it's a negative insurance to ensure that when you die, well, you pay benefits to your family, which is good. But you cannot ensure that you will not die. That's the whole point. But I want to ensure that I will not die through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's the same thing. Before we start out, we pray that the Lord will keep us safe, and believing that He's watching over us more than many sparrows, we go confidently and we go with the assurance that the Lord will be very gracious to us. In one of our pilgrimages, after we are half an hour on the air, they suddenly announced that we are flying back to Singapore because of engine trouble. Then everybody was very still. They keep on praying, bowing our heads, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." And by the grace of God, as He heard our prayers, we landed back safely in Singapore. And they gave us a hotel for the next 24 hours or so because it took a long time to repair the engine. But, yes, because we travel so often, we are bound to meet with this or that. before a time comes, the Lord will still protect us. It is your faith in God. In all things that you do, do you ask God first? Many times, the Lord will not help us. Not because you never ask me. But if we ask Him, I believe He will listen to our prayers. The next point is, when we travel abroad and we are on tour with your friends, and the Lord's Day comes and they forget Him, nobody sees us, whether we attend church or not, so we just have a fling. Is that the right way? We should look for a good church, but sometimes it's hard to get a good church. Nevertheless, the point is we should seek the Lord's favor in worship and prayer. But if you cannot get a place to worship and you do not know what is a good church, it is good for you to spend time together with your wife or with your family in the hotel room and then read a passage of scripture and perhaps sing a song that you know and then pray together and also to give an offering. That's part of the worship. In the pilgrimages, how the Lord has blessed us mightily is that we have a BP church of all things in Palestine, in Bethlehem. We have a BP church exactly worshipping like us and having the same doctrine, because this church was founded by Dr. Thomas Lambie, the famous missionary. And he was a BP. And from there, six or seven Arab families were converted. And now they continue in the good work of the missionaries. And the wonderful thing is that Pastor George Awad, who is a nurse by profession, but they have no one qualified, and he's the best qualified, they ordained him as minister of the church. But he has got four wonderful sons. And three of them are given to serve the Lord. Her big son is in America and he graduated from seminary and is doing some gospel work. The third son runs a home for children. He married an English wife, and much support comes from England to run this home for the children. But the youngest one went to the Philippines, got his master's degree in theology, is now returned, and he is the proper pastor, ordained, more or less, to succeed his father. And so we can go to the church of the same faith and worship together, and being two Sundays in the Holy Land. We try our best to worship two times at the church. But there are times we cannot do that. And one time we were at Mount Sinai, when they climbed Moses' mountain, we are there, so that Sunday we worship at the foot of the mountain. But we saw to it that we give a good offering for the work of the church, for the charitable works there, as part of our worship, that we owe the Lord for His goodness and protection. And the Lord has mightily bless us. We go to the Holy Land to stay in the Baraka Center. It is not, of course, as perfect as a hotel, but being a place where Christians can get together and have greater fellowship and worship, And we patronize them to help them, as well as bring an offering for the people. The Lord therefore has blessed us in many, many ways. So it's important for us when we are traveling abroad not to forget the Lord and have a fling. Nobody sees us. But when the Lord's day comes, we should steel our souls and seek the Lord's blessing and give Him our heart as being part of our dues to Him. If a child does not come to see the father, only when he wants money he will come. Do you think the father will bless him as much? I have two little granddaughters, and many times I tell the stories. And I said, come and pray for Gong Gong. I'm not feeling well today, I'm sick. And number one will pray, bless Gong Gong to live up to 100. She said that I'm getting old and I die. She knows it. Yeah, I think I died earlier because we're older. But she prays. At first she said, you live up to 180 like Moses. She did not know. Just 120. 180. No, no, no. The second one comes. God, Heavenly Father, she can say that. Please bless Gong Gong and make him well. You see, your love for them increases tenfold when they can come and have fellowship and worship with you. In the same way, now we are on a fling, we don't care. Nobody sees us. But you realize this is the Lord's day. We should give Him our loving dues. Now finally, let us read these verses. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Even your hairs are all numbered. You are of more value than many sparrows. This brings us to a very intricate and very deep question. So God takes care of the sparrows, and without His will, not one of them will fall. Once I went hunting with my father, and he liked to shoot flying fox. But that day he shot nothing. And I got very disappointed. Then I said, Father, did you not read that the sparrows are under God's control? How much a flying fox is bigger than a sparrow? Then he subsided. Otherwise, he got very angry. Today I get nothing. If God cares for the sparrows, did He care for those that died in the crash? Of course He cared. How many Christians were among them, we do not know. But the plane split into three parts. And fortunately, the front part and the back part, they could escape in time. But in no time, it was all engulfed in flames. Did God know all this? Here, the question comes under the province of what you call predestination. Those non-Christians, Muslims, they can also say, well, I'm not afraid to fly. If the time comes for me to die, I'll die, whether I'm on the ground or in the air. That is correct. But they refer to a blind faith. I'm fated. In Christianity, we don't say I'm fated. We say we are predestined by the sovereign will of God. And so, did the Lord not care for this ill-fated plane? Every bit of it. I am very sorry for those who are in the business class And this part went in the flames. Those at the back and the front, they were able to escape with minor injuries. And yet some of them got burned to death, some of the stewardesses and officers on duty. But it is a high mystery why God allowed those 81 to perish in the burning. It is all by His permissive will. He permits it not because He could not help it. He permits it for a higher purpose that He knows Himself. So no one of us can claim to be immune from any injury. We may also meet with injury, but God has a purpose. And we may meet with death. It is also God's higher purpose. Whether on land or in the air, the same thing might happen. And I want to give a testimony of my own. 35 years ago, we were setting out to Cameron Highlands to hold our first Life Church camp up in the mountains. And then, suddenly there was a crash. My little Volkswagen car, driven by a young man, collided with a big lorry. There's no chance. And my wife and daughter and aunt, three of them were taken to heaven in a flash. In fact, they could have been sleeping. Then what happened to me? I could only bow with Job. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And up to this day, I've never in any situation or circumstance ask a question to the Lord. His will is perfect. But we are happy that they all went to heaven because we knew they were all saved. So, a Christian cannot demand to say, then I will not be touched. There is a doctrine of prosperity. When a man becomes a Christian, then he is prosperous and everything is smooth sailing. No. Why does such thing happen? Because we are living in a sin-cursed world, a very imperfect world. And because of sin, there are all the irregularities. But for the Christian, he is still a conqueror. So let us never doubt the will of God. It is His higher will, His sovereign will. And so I've given you seven lessons. The first is that SIA must look to God. Time and chance happens to all. Bad times come in. For example, war comes in. Then everybody gets it. The second is the non-Christian and the Christian. One who tries to escape bad luck and find good luck always, but the Christian is already on the winning side. Having made his peace with God, so I ask of you who are here today, if you do not know God, if you have not found salvation in Him, to bow your head and receive Him as Savior. And the third thing is choosing a day. Every day for us is the same, but the Lord's day, we must keep it holy. Then a matter of insurance, I forgot to tell you that when we come home safely, don't forget to give thanks to the Lord. We go out and pray, Lord, keep me safe, and then come home, forgot. Now that is not right. We should give thanks and worship the Lord on the Lord's day, wherever you are. I miss this Number 6 point. Do something good for Jesus wherever you go. Do something good for Jesus every day. Do something good for Jesus wherever you go. And when you are traveling, what can you do? You younger men can jolly well help some young lady, some old lady, in retrieving the luggage from the top. Sometimes it's a very difficult job. And I, being a senior citizen, they helped me and I feel very grateful. It's quite a job to retrieve your luggage. And when they're going downstairs, sometimes you've got to carry it. But usually some Caucasian gentleman or even lady, he'll rush and help me. Never mind, let me carry for you. As a Christian, wherever you go, we want to do something good. And then finally, this matter of the predestination of God that we can never pierce to know why and how, but God works it. We just have to submit. May the Lord bless us all through this impact of the air crash, that we may be drawn closer to Him. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee that indeed all things work together for good to them who are called according to Your purpose. So bless us all today with a clearer understanding of the meaning of life, that we will set our affections on things above and not on things below. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.